Drive Time 91.3. Always on the cutting edge.
Welcome back. 072-238-0712 is our WhatsApp number. We've got a beautiful Instagram page, also Twitter, also Facebook, and SMS 47913. President Cyril Ramaphosa says South Africa must dedicate today's International Women's Day to struggle icons like Albertina Sisulu. This year's theme, it's a long one, but it says, "Time is now, rural and urban activists transforming women's lives." Online is Aisha Faki, HOD Sustained Dialogue at the Institute for Justice and Reconciliation. Aisha, assalamu alaikum. Welcome to the show.
Wa alaikum salam. Thank you for having me.
All right. Would you be happy with Cyril Ramaphosa suggesting that today's International Women's Day, in South Africa at least, focuses on a struggle icon like Albertina Sisulu?
Thank you, Robert. I actually found it interesting. I hadn't been able to listen to any news today, so when I heard you say that, I was like, wow, that's interesting. I don't have a problem if we dedicate it to struggle icons, but I hope it goes beyond that to, you know, what are we actually doing? It's an international day for women and the advances in women's rights, but we also need to see what we still need to, how far we still need to go. And dedicating it to a struggle hero is great, but we can't just look back. I think we need to look forward, and in a gender justice sense and in a women's rights sense, there's still so much that needs to be done in South Africa. We've got one of the highest rapes, violence statistics and sexual assault statistics in the world. Gender justice and just women's rights, the gender pay gap, those kinds of things. I think your listeners are well aware of that, and I would love if we actually look forward as well as looking back and celebrating what has been achieved.
No, absolutely. I mean, in South Africa, I think we have to understand that we are a developing nation, and as such, we're going through some transformations, some not, and also trying to understand ourselves with regards to what we've gone through in the past, and it becomes pretty much of a whole a mixed cocktail of confusion at the end of the day. No excuse for violence, though.
Yeah, no, definitely. I mean, I don't know if you're, I mean, we often say this in our work, I mean, for a country that's not in active war, and I know we have one of our highest crime rates in the world, but in a country that's not in active shooting war, we have the violent and sexual assault statistics of a country in a war zone. And that is just unfathomable if you really think about it, you know. I mean, and now and then you'll see in our media grotesque horrors spike in you know, the murders of women and queer women and the like. And then, you know, there's the usual outcries and that. But what are we doing on an everyday level from a policy perspective as well as an implementation perspective? And yes, you're right, we're going through various transitions and we're a developing country, and that has certain wealth implications and, you know, the accessibility to resources. And I think it was also highlighted the urban-rural divide and how access across those two polarities for women's rights is also so vastly different. And I say different, and not necessarily better or worse, but it's a different context leads itself to different experiences of access to rights and gender justice.
Yeah, I mean, it's interesting that in the rural environment, there are most definitely, I think, different dynamics is the safest way probably to describe it. Some people might say patriarchal and express other views as far as that is concerned. Do you think that part of the answer to the violence that women in South Africa suffer, does it lie in understanding our past, the emasculation of identity, leading to some post-traumatic stress disorder in the male DNA, which seems to tell him that violence against women is the only way that he can assert himself?
So I want to very clearly steer away from DNA because I'm obviously not a biologist or anything
like
that.
No, nor am I, yeah.
But, Yeah, so, but I hear your question, and I do think we talk about post-conflict societies, and we are most definitely a post-conflict society, and there's a lot of psychosocial and or even emotional woundedness, and that can't be absent the race discussion, and how men of color and black men were and are treated. At the same time, everyone knows this buzzword, intersectionality, and it's less so much about identity, and it's about how structural oppression impacts us differently. So as men experience oppression, if we look at the large-scale statistics these days, when we know that our triple national threat is poverty, unemployment, and inequality, if you dig deeper into the numbers, the face of poverty in South Africa is a black woman. You know, if you look at if you make a statistic a human being and you go through deep into the numbers, you will find that the people bearing the most brunt of those three vectors are actually women. And so it's a very interesting area. I don't think we have all the answers, but I think as apartheid and the structure that we still have, the spatial legacies that we still have, the economic marginalization that we still have, it inflicted wounds on various aspects of a society, and patriarchy in turn is sort of metastasized, if I'm pronouncing that word, like in a cancerous way, made it how we relate in as women and men. And obviously it's not unique to South Africa, but I think with special probably vortex of factors working itself out in South Africa, if I were to say so.
Yeah, I mean, I think we have to understand that apartheid itself and colonialism as well, so often we forget that we had to go through about 300 years of colonialism even before we got to apartheid, that apart from it being a structurally violent scenario in which we were living, it was also psychologically violent. And I often wonder whether enough attention has been paid maybe to that aspect of it, which has led to such abnormal behavior in certain sectors of our society.
Yeah, I mean, I often joke that if we could have free healthcare, could we also have free therapy? And it's sort of a half joke, but I really believe that exactly what you meant now, the psychological, the psychosocial, I mean, even in our communities, I know I can only ask my parents only so much about apartheid, I mean, even though I experienced the very tail end of it, because it's just something that, you know, parents don't necessarily want to talk about because it involves pain. And so whether we, and I'm not interested in pop psychology terms like denial and all of that, but, you know, the way we, if we've, you know, maybe we're a nation in post-traumatic stress disorder, you know, those kinds of things. And I think it's useful questions to ask. And I know that psychosocial healing and post-conflict psychosocial development is a field of interest and increasing currency in the kind of work we do in the social justice arena.
Aisha Thaki, HOD Sustained Dialogue, Institute for Justice and Reconciliation, both of us trying to understand the South African landscape, particularly in light of violence against women. Today is International Women's Day, and it's only appropriate that we remember that aspect of things, because in South Africa that's one of our biggest problems. Aisha, Shukran, thanks a lot.
No fun.
Drive Time on 91.3. Always on the cutting edge.